When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live on Sports Grid. It's Game Time Decisions with you here on a Monday night. Plenty to get to as we've got a Game 7 in the NHL playoffs. We do not have any NBA postseason action with the Mavericks finishing out Oklahoma City in 6. That Game 7 would have been tonight. Instead, we have our conference finals in both the East and the West set. We will break those down. We will discuss a little bit the odds, the conference finals MVP markets, and talk a little bit about the Nuggets and the Knicks being eliminated and the questions that surround those teams and the end of their seasons. We've got some WNBA action to get to. Caitlin Clark in the mix once again. A number of odds boosts out there around Clark and, of course, a baseball board. We will go through that in a minute, but I figure we go quick pick style and put your MLB play of the day on tab, and that is Rays Red Sox over the 7 with Taj Bradley and Tanner Houck getting the ball. Houck, of course, for Boston and Bradley for the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, when you look at this total here at a 7, and this number did bounce up, I know, at one spot to a 7.5, but the 7 looks to still be out there in the market. And that's key for me. When we look, these teams just played last week at Fenway. Same exact pitching matchup. The total was an 8.5. There might have been some weather. I actually did go back and look at a weather report from that day. A little bit of wind, maybe 5 miles an hour. It wasn't Wrigley Field. This wasn't some 95-degree, perfect hitting weather situation. So we dropped this all the way to a 7. And ironically enough, the game didn't land 7 that time that they met. So to get this number with Tanner Houck, who's been a little hit or miss his last few outings, Taj Bradley, 23-year-old, off to a great start, but it's only 2 starts. And last year was not all that good for this Tampa Bay Rays team. He could be coming along, right? And again, I know Houck has been very good as well, a young pitcher, just 27 years old. But I'm willing to go against these guys here at a 7. What is a very, very light number. Before we get to the rest of the baseball board, I think we go to Game 7 tonight. Canucks Oilers, as the NHL postseason is continuing to deliver excellent games and close games. You were with us on Sunday, yesterday. We spoke very briefly with Dave Sharapan, who will be with us here on this Monday night, about just early thoughts, right? Kind of the vibe check on the hockey. And he said he was leaning Canucks. And I mentioned I was leaning Edmonton on the puck line, which at the time was around plus 180. It actually dropped to around plus 160. But again, I don't mind betting my hockey on vibes. It's kind of worked out in some spots. And there's always a research paired with the vibes. But I thought it was hard to justify the puck line. The last game that these teams just played in Edmonton was the first decided by multiple goals. Okay, that's tough. You know, there's sometimes narratives that'll get tossed around in sports that are not necessarily backed up by truth, right? You can't beat a team three times. There's, you know, the old school narrative of against Mahomes, you had to slow it down and try and win a game 17-10 when really you just have to win 35-31. And sometimes when you get to these hockey games, you go, oh, come on, elimination, they're going to pull the goalie so early, you can get three empty netters possibly. We've had 11 series closed out so far. Only five of those closeout games have been decided by multiple goals. And both the Oilers and the Canucks in those round one matchups saw the final game of their series decided by a singular goal. So I'm not saying it can't happen, right? But if the idea was, oh, when a series ends, the puck's flying in the back of the net because the goalie's being pulled, isn't true. Especially with how much overtime hockey we've seen so far this postseason. So I backed off of that. And what I did play was Connor McDavid to find the back of the net, plus 135. I thought this was a great piece of business here. You take a look at the number for the Edmonton Oilers superstar, and he's got third choice here. Why? Well, it's not been a big goal postseason for Connor McDavid. Again, his work is always done with the assist. 21 points, 19 assists. He has two goals so far. One in this series, and he had one against the LA Kings. But you look back through the recent Connor McDavid postseason history, and in four consecutive games facing elimination, McDavid has found the back of the net. The best player in the league steps up, puts it on his stick, and finds the back of the net. At a plus 135 price, I'm good with that. And I don't mind the four-game goalless stretch here. I would be a little more hesitant if the only goal that McDavid scored in the series was last game, right? Because now we're asking him to go back-to-back, which, again, is not how McDavid makes his due. He's coming off of a 132-point season. 100 of those were assists. It's, you know, this is how hockey works. The best in the world are assisters more than goal scorers, right? That's why Austin Matthews had to get near a record-setting goal type of season to even be entered into that MVP conversation. And by the end of it, he probably won't finish top three. Behind McDavid, Kucherov, and soon-to-be winner, you would assume Nathan MacKinnon, at least what the odds told us here. So I am looking for Connor McDavid to score a goal tonight. I was interested, and I haven't made a play yet. I'm not invested in the Stanley Cup market. Look, as a hockey guy, I've not, you know, there's no preseason futures for me. I had mentioned being tempted by Colorado on the show, I know, but I never played them, which obviously worked out as they were not able to beat the Dallas Stars. The Florida Panthers have become interesting to me. Best goal differential in hockey, second best defense on the season, and still a very strong offense, and an offense that I think has probably room to grow even more as this postseason carries. We've seen some great games for them in their opening two rounds, one against Tampa Bay and then the win against the Boston Bruins. I spoke very favorably of the Rangers throughout these playoffs here. I'm not as enamored with the Dallas Stars. I'm not. I was thinking of playing some exact results. Florida beat Edmonton and Florida beat Vancouver, 10-1 and 14-1 respectively. I've not got down on that. We will talk to Dave Sharapan as well as Joe Maddon throughout these 2 hours and see if there's any more juice that we need to lay. WNBA tonight, 7 o'clock tip for a pair of games as we have our first back-to-back of the year, which is going to be the New York Liberty hosting the Seattle Storm. The Storm did grab their first win yesterday against the Mystics, which was huge. They did it without Nneka as well. Still questions around her availability, though that 13-point line certainly suggests she will be absent. I'm going to back away. Again, this is our first back-to-back of the WNBA season. Let's learn a little bit here before we run to the window is how I feel. But we've got Caitlin Clark in action, the Indiana Fever and the Connecticut Sun. And I mentioned there's some Clark boosts out there. I just want to reiterate this because I think it's important for people to understand just the power of her star. The boost board is typically tied to whatever is going to be the most popular thing on a given slate. And I'm not trying to take a shot at the hockey playoffs. And I just led with the hockey playoffs. But it's Caitlin Clark's game with the boost. It's not McDavid for 2 points. It's Clark for 20-plus and a Alyssa Thomas double-double. It's not bad. But my eyes are on Aaliyah Boston in this game, over 11.5 points. Against the Sun, opening night, we went under her points. We go over now for Aaliyah Boston. That game against the Sun, that number was 15.5, 14.5. She has consecutive games with 12 points. Her volume is upticking. Her efficiency is upticking. And we will see Aaliyah Boston go over 11.5 points and potentially see Mr. W stay unbeaten in that league, which would be awesome. Baseball parlay. Rarely do it, but these were two picks. I didn't want to give it individually too much juice, so we bring them together. Logan Gilbert and Sonny Gray, each for over 17.5 outs, recorded at around plus 160. We're in the mix with you right here on a Monday night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on this Monday night. And the conference finals in the East and the West are set. Hour number two, we're going to talk Eastern Conference. Knicks eliminated, making way for a Boston-Indiana series. Massive number on the Boston Celtics, over minus 1,000 to win that series against the Indiana Pacers. Much different story in the West. The Dallas Mavericks punched their ticket Saturday night against the Oklahoma City Thunder, the top seed in the West. Minnesota eliminated the defending champs in the Denver Nuggets last night. What an incredible game. It felt like a moment, all in all. Maybe my favorite game of this postseason so far. It felt unbelievable. It was hard to even come to terms with what was happening. And that does, by the way, lead to questions around this Denver team a lot more than I think are being asked. Though it is nice that Minnesota getting their praise for an incredible series is taking precedent over the slander and the negative side. There are still things we need to address with Denver, and we'll do that in just 10 minutes here on Game Time Decisions. But let's get into this number now with Minnesota at minus 170. The Mavs check in at plus 138. I don't think this is a good number at all. Now, you guys know I am on the Dallas Mavericks to win the West. Bet it preseason, 17-1. I've believed in this Mavs group since they didn't make the playoffs last year. Run the tape, BATR. Bet them preseason. Love their moves that they made within season. So seeing them here at a plus 138 price, I'm not upset. I'm not concerned. I'm not worried. I'm not looking to hedge. I believe in Dallas. But I'm just talking about this number. The Dallas Mavericks opened at some books as a slight favorite last round against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Number closed around minus 120. How do we jump up to minus 170 here on Minnesota? You want to say the Timberwolves have earned that because they've looked much better than Oklahoma City in the two rounds of postseason action? I think that's understandable, but maybe a stretch, right? I mean, Oklahoma City swept their opening round matchup as well. Oklahoma City hung with Dallas. The thing is, and that price, it was reflected kind of for some people in the Dallas-OKC series. A lot of people felt that Dallas and Oklahoma City were almost fraudulent. I attacked that series differently. I love both those basketball teams. And when I said Dallas would win that series, it wasn't picking against OKC or their youth or thinking that they were fraudulent. It was a bet on Dallas, who I've said consistently, since they've made all their moves, only Boston, a clearly better basketball team. And the Mavs in this postseason, both ends of the floor, the defense stepping up a ton, and they'll need it against this Minnesota group. I'm not telling you the Timberwolves shouldn't be favorites. They have home court advantage. That matters a ton. And they did beat the defending champs, which is going to carry more weight than Dallas's win over Oklahoma City. But minus 170 Minnesota, who had worse odds, by the way, to win the West entering the playoffs than OKC, compared to a Thunder's number that was, we'll call it minus 120. It's too far. this Timberwolf number is too far. So if you've not bet this series yet, if you don't have tickets on either of these teams, I'm going to be on the Mavericks. Now, I'm on the Mavericks big preseason. I don't know if I'm going to Joe Lisi-style double down and bet more Mavs. Shout out, go for the two. He'd lay 2.5 games with the Mavericks if he was holding on to a big Dallas ticket. But the Mavericks do have something really big in their back pocket entering this series. Raheem Palmer of The Ringer, who's been on this show and he'll likely be on this show throughout the conference finals, has talked a lot about teams coming off of a game seven and how difficult it is to win the next round and specifically game one. In come the Minnesota Timberwolves. Dallas has the chance to steal home court in game one with a massive rest advantage. They haven't played since Saturday, and they didn't play in a game seven. I mean, that game took a lot out of Minnesota. You just know it had to. That's huge if they can flip home court right away. The Mavericks have not only not lost back-to-back games so far this postseason, they haven't won a game number one yet. So when we're projecting what this is going to look like for the Mavs, getting in early could be huge. Now, the big thing for Minnesota is they've also been unreal on the road. 3 out of 4 against Denver. Swept, obviously, the Phoenix Suns. This team has a 5-1 road record in this postseason. But just a 3-2 record at home. Keep that in mind. Dallas so far is 4-2 home and away. There will be road wins in this series. Let's pop open your conference finals MVPs. Tomorrow's show, since, of course, I'm not here with you on the Wednesdays, any series-long wagers that I like, I'll try and get them to you. Always know, at the Kevin Walsh, we'll tweet them out. What you'll see with these numbers, and it's understandable, and these are really the questions. If Minnesota wins, it could be anybody other than Ant. And if Dallas wins, it could be anybody other than Luka. Luka's coming off a series against Oklahoma City where it felt like he was underwhelming. 25, 11, and 9. Those were the numbers. And he was getting better, it looked like, as that series was going on. 3 straight triple-doubles to close it. It's going to be really hard. And the only guy who can do it is Kyrie Irving. He's 16-1. If you look, Kyrie, though, had a really down series. Under, or just about 15 a night in the series. We talk bounce backs all the time. Can Kyrie have a bounce back series? Could Kyrie average 30 in this series? It'd be outlier, but the 15 a night against OKC was outlier as well. Jamal Murray last year averaged 30 in the Western Conference Finals against the Lakers. It was outlier, but here's the other problem. It didn't result in a Conference Finals MVP. If you wanted to bet against Ant, I wouldn't run to Carl. I'd actually play the Gobert 50. If this series is 6 games of less than 200 basketball, and it's defense, 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 it's possible the 4-time DPOY gets thrown to the front of the line for credit. Ant's coming off a 6-for-22 game. Now, I don't think Minnesota can cross the line with him playing like that, but I think it's more likely Gobert would get it than Cat. We're going to talk about the Denver Nuggets and that disaster next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions. We're back here in the mix on a Monday night. And I think it is time we talk a little bit about the defending champions attempt at a repeat ending in embarrassing fashion. No other way to describe it. No other way. This team, with the reigning league's MVP, blew a 15-point halftime lead, biggest in league history, in a game seven, on their home floor, up 20 in the second half, for their third loss out of 4 in the series, to be eliminated in round 2 by a team that didn't have pedigree, by the way. That Denver loss is inexcusable. You have one of the greatest offensive players we've ever seen. 14 third quarter points. Come on now. That cannot happen. That cannot happen. The thing is, there are questions around this team. But I want to separate Jokic and everybody else. Because the Jokic questions are way different. They can be a blessing and a curse. But let's establish this. Nikola Jokic is still the best player in this league. That doesn't change. It doesn't. Nikola Jokic is still comfortably one of your 25 best players in league history. But Jokic was encroaching on a way different level of all-time great. Many people believed this season was going to end with another finals MVP for Nikola Jokic. And if that were true, he would all of a sudden be locked into your top 10 players in league history with an eye on the top five. That's not an overreaction. Players with multiple league MVPs and finals MVPs. It's short as can be. No Shaq on that list. No Kobe on that list. No Steph on that list. LeBron, Michael, Duncan. It's short. It's a short list. Magic, Larry, Jokic would have been on that list. But it feels as if this loss helps us appropriately place Jokic all time. It's not a negative. Being one of the 20, 25, he might still be top 15 greatest players of all time is nothing short of unbelievable. But because of, and let's be honest, LeBron James, we have put the expectation on the league's best player to make, even win the finals every year. LeBron went to 8 in a row, 9 out of 10. That's what he did. Won 4 of them. Right? So when Giannis ripped off that title, can't find that guy in a conference finals. He's injured every year. It's a problem. Nobody talks about it. You start to shift the expectations. Jokic, come on, this team's obviously going to win the West. Nobody in the West could touch him. All young, all unproven. Round 2, Elim. 20-point second half lead blown in your own building. It's just about adjusting where these guys are. But for Jokic, he's still league's best player. He doesn't. We don't leave this series as a by saying, oh, Nikola Jokic is fraudulent. No. It's adjusting where he is all time. That's all. Because he had a very real chance to be top five. He'll never get there without a finals MVP. He needs another one. That's the bar. That's okay. It's an honor to be held to that bar and an honor that he brought upon himself. This year, a failure. That's what it is. But Jokic is good. There are other guys I have questions about. Jamal Murray, what's up? Michael Malone, what's going on here? Front office, how do we feel on this Monday? What kind of questions are we asking of ourselves? Jamal Murray, unacceptable. Unacceptable. Jamal Murray's ability to light it up in the postseason, great. Didn't happen this postseason. We're going to blame the whole thing on the calf? I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm willing to do that. And if you're Jamal Murray, there are smart people who believe Denver burned themselves in the back end of the regular season chasing a one seed. The irony in thinking home court was that important and losing 3 out of 4 in your own building in this series. But guess what? When you have Nikola Jokic tripping off MVP after MVP, maybe Jamal Murray should be able to lighten the load in the regular season and not just the postseason. Jamal Murray's never made an all-star team and he's never deserved one. You want to get appropriate respect? Show up in November. Show up in January. Show up in February. And Michael Malone, talking spicy all last year, all of a sudden doesn't have time for a press conference. All of a sudden things are stupid questions. Hey, Mike, how come Jokic had to play 47 minutes and you got 14 points out of the best offensive player in league history? Is that a dumb question? Answer it. Figure it out. We got questions now in Denver.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live on a Monday night game time decisions. Michael Malone gets off easy. I had more questions. I do want to close on this, though, because this is important. The Denver Nuggets front office. Last year's title will never be taken from you, so don't get up in arms with what I'm about to say. The teams they eliminated last year were the 8th seed, a 4 seed, a 7 seed, and an 8 seed. They've never beaten a 50-win team in the playoffs. You won the title. It's all good. But now you were eliminated in round two. So if you're the Nuggets organization, do you think it's just, we're going to get more rest and let's run it forward? Or do you now have to ask yourself, where are you not good enough? Because we know you're good enough with Jokic. We know that. Everybody else, it's fair game. And I mean everybody. From Jamal to Malone to Porter Jr. to Aaron Gordon to where'd all that great depth go? Everything is fair game in Denver. Because when we get 2025 NBA Finals odds in a month, the Denver Nuggets won't be the favorites. That'll probably be Boston. And I don't know if Denver will be the first team in the West we see. That'll probably be whoever comes out of the West in this series. And potentially Oklahoma City. And who knows what they do with a Laker team. Honestly, I mean, if they're going to potentially bring in Donovan Mitchell. So Denver needs to be realistic this offseason and ask themselves some hard questions. You got the hard part down, though. Jokic, we're good. Locked in. Best player in the world. You got to get everything correct around him to now. If not, more of this is potentially on the way. Let's get to the baseball. I know it's a big night in the NHL, but we still got a baseball board full of action here and some games coming up to help us with that. It's Joe Maddon. Joe, great to talk to you here on a Monday. 640, 645, 650, a couple of first pitches. So let me start, in Washington with everybody's favorite Washington Nationals as a home dog against the Minnesota Twins.
Oh, yeah, we are going to turn to the Washington Nationals in this one, Kevin. I know that you love betting on the Nationals and Parker getting the start here for them. I think his strikeout number, firstly, is too low. You can take that to 5-plus strikeouts coming in at plus 134, and he's been able to hit this only in two of his six starts. But we look at the Minnesota Twins, and this team has struggled to hit lefties, and I do think in this one we're going to see a big day out of Parker, so I'm going to take him for those strikeouts. I'm also going to look at the Washington Nationals because of that in those first five innings. I think they can come out nice and strong. Now you can take them straight up on that money line at plus 138. I don't know about you, Kevin, but I'm not in love with the run lines for the underdog plus a half, unless I think it's going to be scoreless in those first five. It's really hard to hit that. So I do think money line bet is where it's at for the Nationals in the first five.
All right, a little early juice there for the Nats, a little early juice with Mitchell Parker. We'll see how that one plays out. What about this Red Sox game here, Joe, as Tanner Houck gets the baseball against Taj Bradley?
This has to be an under for me. I'm looking for both of these pitchers to come out so phenomenally strong. I know a total at 7.5 is hard to take to the under, but I really do think this one hits right on 7, if not 6, and the under coming in at minus 124. Now, I do think we have the opportunity of getting the Nerfy in this as well, that Nerfy coming in at minus 132. And there's also another bet that I do love because I have so much faith in both of these pitchers coming out today. I think that they can get those strikeouts on the board, and I think they get those strikeouts fast. You can look at them for 3-plus strikeouts in the first inning combined. That's coming in at plus 124, Kevin. They're both in for really solid days. They faced each other just a week ago, and both of these pitchers were able to come out phenomenally strong, get those strikeouts on the board, and I'm expecting the same thing.
So I'm on the over in this game, Joe, so if we could split it, no runs first inning, and then a little bit of juice from there. I will say, though, I did play over 7, and I thought that was important because the last time these pitchers met, it did land 7. And if it's a push, it's a push. It's certainly not going to be a loss at that number. Some Tigers baseball today. They're going to go to Kansas City against Michael Wacha. What do you see here with a little AL Central action?
I think Reese Olson can come out nice and strong in this one versus the Kansas City Royals. I'm going to take his strikeouts to the over. That's coming in over 4.5 at plus 120. Now, if you want to get a little greedy in this one, you could take him 6 or more strikeouts. That's coming in at plus 255. I think he has every ability here versus the Kansas City Royals. Now, I know this is a team that doesn't strike out a lot, but we look at the last time Reese Olson faced the Kansas City Royals. He was able to get 8 strikeouts in that game, and he has been strong at getting those strikeouts on the board for the Tigers. I really do think this is another game where he comes out here and can really control that lineup of the Kansas City Royals. So give me Reese Olson over the 5. I'm going to take him for the 6-plus. I think the 4.5 is a nice way. You're still getting plus money, but I want that plus 255 money, Kevin, at 6-plus strikeouts here.
All right, always good to put some plus money on the board, Major League Baseball style. Joe, interesting game here in St. Louis. Sonny Gray has the baseball, two rough starts in a row, but still booked as a favorite against the Baltimore Orioles.
And I understand why they are the favorite, because we know Sonny Gray has to get back to form, but can he get back to form here versus the Baltimore Orioles, especially with Gunnar Henderson riding so phenomenally hot right now? I can't do it. And we know Dean Kremer also can allow those long balls. So I do lean to this being a higher scoring game, but one that I think the Baltimore Orioles can get the win. I'm going to take them straight up on that money line. We're actually getting plus money with the Baltimore Orioles here at plus 110, which is just crazy to me. And then because Gunnar Henderson has been so strong, he's been able to get a home run in his last three games out there versus the Mariners this weekend. I think he stays hot, and I'm willing to take him at plus 420 for that home run. Now, you could look at him for the RBI tonight. I think that is probably the safest way, but there's really no safe way in betting. That RBI coming in at plus 155, still lots of value there. I do think he is a huge contributor tonight for the Baltimore Orioles to get the win.
All right, a little juice there for the O's. What about the best team in the AL East? That's the New York Yankees going against Logan Gilbert and the Seattle Mariners in the Bronx.
I love backing Logan Gilbert, but I can't here versus the Yankees. He's shown his struggles versus the Yankees going 1-2 with a 7.97 ERA. That's not a pitcher I want to back versus a team. And I think the Yankees, with their lineup here, can get the win. Marcus Stroman getting the start here for the Yankees. I'm just going to take the Yankees. I'm going to make it simple in this one, Kevin. I know we got to lay the juice at minus 136, but I do believe they can get it done today. They've been so phenomenally strong versus Seattle as well when they've been at home, and I can't go against that trend. They've gone 14-5 in the 19 matchups at home versus the Seattle Mariners, so I do think they get it done tonight.
Listen, I found that game kind of tricky because I'm using Logan Gilbert in a parlay, Joe, to throw six innings, which he's done at all but two starts. The plus 120 on Seattle was a little interesting, but I mean, this Yankees team, they're 16-6 at home. You have a under 500 road team in the Seattle Mariners, and Marcus Stroman is having about as good of a year as Logan Gilbert, and you're seeing a minus 140 number. I think just sometimes a team like the Yankees, you'd think you're paying a premium. I think there's a little bit of a situation here where people are betting, oh, they're going to lose eventually. I think if this number was, you know, minus 150, minus 160, you got a great number there on that minus 136 number, Joe. And I think it's understandable with what we're seeing in the New York Yankees here, just playing as good as anyone. Late night in L.A., Dodgers, D-backs. What are you on, Joe?
Oh, I'm on the Nerfy in this one. You know I love to bet a Nerfy, and that Nerfy coming in at minus 118. Joe Mantiply coming out here. I do think he can come out strong enough in this one for the Diamondbacks to not allow that run in the first inning. And when we look at the Dodgers with Yamamoto coming out, I have a lot of faith in him to come out phenomenally strong. Now, Joe Mantiply has been strong, not allowing those runs, especially on the road. We've seen him have more strength out there. So I think that Nerfy really has an opportunity of hitting. I'm looking at both of these pitchers to also have a strong day with being able to get those strikeouts, especially Yamamoto. I'm going to take Yamamoto over his 5.5 strikeouts. It's juicy at minus 142, but you could always parlay that with the Dodgers to get the win, Kevin.
Yeah, sir. Look, Yamamoto has been awesome this season. I will let people know I am interested in some Astros props, but with that starting lineup coming out a little bit late, we'll hopefully get those before we get out of here. Let's talk hockey next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here. It is Game Time Decisions. We're live on a Monday night with the Game 7 in the NHL playoffs, the Edmonton Oilers and the Vancouver Canucks. Joe, this has been an awesome series. Game 6 in Edmonton was the first game that was not decided by a single goal. And for the first time in this series, our total is not 6.5. It's 5.5. What do you see with Vancouver and Edmonton? Who do you like to win this game?
Kevin, I told you going into game six, I really did think Vancouver needed to get that win, or I thought they would choke this away at home. So I'm really cautious here with taking the Vancouver Canucks because I can see that choke job coming. Brock Besner not in the lineup because of blood clotting issues, and thankfully not life-threatening out there. But for the lives of the Vancouver Canucks in the playoffs, not having him out there is a huge blow to this team. This team completely struggled offensively in that last game. They weren't able to get those shots. Edmonton stepped up defensively, putting light work on Stuart Skinner. Still no announcement on who will be in goal. I do expect it to be Skinner over Pickard here for the Edmonton Oilers. Whichever goaltender it is, Vancouver's got to find a way to get those shots on them tonight. So instead of taking a side, Kevin, because I really do think it could be Edmonton with the momentum, I just don't know if I have the faith in Vancouver. And Edmonton's unbettable at this price for me. The Vancouver Canucks have been the underdog in every single game of this series. So I've got a couple other ways I want to bet this one. I am looking at Vancouver's goaltender, Shylas, to come out here nice and strong. He has to go over his safe shot on goal prop for Vancouver to be able to keep this one competitive. That number coming in at 25.5 minus 114 to the over. He has to come in. He has to stand on his head in this one if Vancouver wants a chance. Now, Vancouver has to start firing. They have to get those shots. We know Edmonton completely limited them in that last game, but one thing Vancouver has done well during this whole series, even in that last game, which was their lowest ability to get those faceoffs, they have won the majority of the faceoffs in game 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, Kevin. So I'm going to look at them in that first period to win the faceoffs. Now on FanDuel, you can bet every single period for each of these teams is at minus 113. I'll bet the Vancouver Canucks to control those faceoffs in the first period at minus 113. But I don't blame anyone that takes every single period there at minus 113. They probably win two of the three because we look at the Vancouver Canucks in all six of these games, they have won. And even in that first game, they controlled over 60% of those faceoffs. So I do have the faith in them coming out there. And then, Kevin, I got to look at the highest scoring period. We're getting beautiful plus money on the highest scoring period. That's coming in at plus 210. I think that is the third period there because we know those empty netters will come into play. One of these teams desperate. I don't see this being a blowout. I think this game is just as tight as the other games that we've seen out there. This has the opportunity of going to overtime. Vancouver just has to play smarter out there. And I do think another bet you could look at is the no goal in the first 10 minutes. I expect defense and goaltending to be the storyline of that first 10 minutes. That's coming in at plus 112. But Kevin, for me to sit here and pick a side, I want to go with the plus money with Vancouver, but I told you, I think they could choke here. So it's hard for me to take them even with the plus money tonight.
Yeah, really interesting spot. I did play the Connor McDavid goal at plus 135. McDavid has scored in four straight games facing elimination in his postseason career. There's a part of me that wants to play over 5.5 just based on the fact that it's been 6.5. So the 5.5 is, oh, well, it's game seven. You know, that kind of makes me want to buy low a little bit on the total. But as I've said, you kind of it's hard to step in front of some of the stuff that we've seen in this series. Every game decided by a goal other than the last game. Right? I think you can bet this game to be decided by one. Basically, each team's +1.5 and get a touch of plus money. But that also feels like the most stressful way to bet this game. And at that point, maybe you just bet overtime and you'd feel a little more comfortable with a wager like that. Joe, were there any other props that you were considering for this game, but you ultimately just couldn't get there on?
Yeah, I want to look at some of those goal scorers, and you think for Edmonton, it has to be Leon Draisaitl, in my opinion. We know Connor McDavid's been phenomenally strong out there, and I don't blame you for taking him for that goal. And if he gets that goal, I could see it being the game-winning goal that pushes them into the next round versus the Dallas Stars, and then he will be the superhero of this. But looking at Leon Draisaitl, he's been phenomenally strong out there for Edmonton. He's plus 120 for the anytime goal tonight. Now, JT Miller is the superstar right now of Vancouver. We heard them all chanting for him in that last game when he was able to get the goal with 33 seconds left on the board for them to win in that game five at home. So his anytime goal coming in at plus 200. I'm with you on thinking this game should go over that total of 5.5. I really do think this is played tight to the chest in that first period and even that second period, making everyone sweat this game to the over. But what I do think is it's a live betting opportunity, Kevin. I want to wait for that first period to be over to see if that total will drop. Now, if one of these teams comes out and scores phenomenally quick, we know Edmonton has the ability to do that with their run and gun hockey. If they decide to come out of the gate that way, we're going to lose the best of this number. We won't have a 5.5, I don't think, for the rest of the game. So I don't mind putting a little bit of money on the over 5.5 now, but I ultimately like to see this to drop to 4.5 and then hit it over at that point. But I do think looking at a couple of those goal scorers, Elias Pettersson as well for the Vancouver Canucks with Brock Besner out of this lineup really has to step up. And there's been so much stress and pressure on him to step up. And I think his anytime goal at plus 230 holds so much value as well. These shots from Vancouver just didn't come in the last game. But what we did see was that one goal. I think we can look for a couple of those guys to score the goals in this one, Kevin.
Yeah, I think it makes plenty of sense there. Before we let you get out of here, Joe, if you were Dallas, it's not a slight, but who do you think is the more dangerous matchup for the Stars?
More dangerous matchup would be Vancouver if they can get Demko back. But you know what? Neither of these teams, Kevin, you look at the Stars, that depth of the Stars right now, if Vancouver doesn't get Demko back in goal, I don't know if Vancouver can get it done. And Edmonton doesn't have the defense and the goaltending against the Dallas Stars, who are just so deep. So I think Dallas is sitting fat and sassy right now.
Listen, good spot then for those Dallas Stars, no doubt about it. And Joe will continue to help us break down this NHL postseason, which has been delivering throughout. Joe, we appreciate it as always. Coming up next, some Major League Baseball futures for the people.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here at Sports Grid. It's Game Time Decisions. Want to talk a little Major League Baseball and some futures in the awards market. And sometimes I like to take the chance to talk a few things out here with people before placing some of these wagers. And I've kind of been talking this out with some of our crew behind the scenes as well, who will always be involved with these baseball futures. And one pitcher's market. And here's the other thing. So I'm going to talk some pitcher's markets. I have hesitation to bet positive pitcher futures. There is an injury problem in this league with starting pitchers. That is the reality of it. So timing the bet is even more important, right? And that's why I didn't want to play anything in April. So is playing something here on May 20th worth it? It's something that I'm struggling with. And you would imagine if I'm going to bet something on May 20th with my hesitation, I have to be getting 20-1 or longer. The first number I want to discuss is even money. You could probably find a bit better in the market. I know there's a plus 110, but it is on Shota Imanaga to win the NL Rookie of the Year. We on this show did a look to the NL's moving Cy Young market in the very, very beginning of May, where at the time the Cy Young, if it was voted on, and I know it's not, but if it was, it was either going to be Ranger Suarez or Imanaga. And both guys have continued their tear. And both guys have seen their numbers drop significantly. Imanaga finds himself now at the second best odds to win the NL Cy Young at plus 480. That Imanaga's Rookie of the Year price, I feel, hasn't moved as much. It's currently even money. We're using just FanDuel odds here to make this simple. Behind him is Yamamoto, plus 430. Jared Jones, plus 750. And then Paul Skeens at 11-1. It would be really surprising if it was not one of these pitchers to take this award down. Which even makes this a little bit more difficult then, because now it just feels like all your top contenders, we are, at least I am, worried about some level of injury. But here's the simplest part of this on Imanaga. If Yamamoto was having this exact season that Imanaga was having, I think Yamamoto would have shorter odds for NL Cy Young than we have for Imanaga to win NL Rookie of the Year. If Yamamoto
was pitching to a 0.84 ERA, nine starts in, where in five of them he didn't even give up a run. I think he would be minus 110 to probably win Cy Young, and minus 250, minus 300 to win Rookie of the Year. Yamamoto had a bit more pedigree entering this conversation than Imanaga. But Imanaga has pedigree. And of course, this is a somewhat unique situation, right? He's 30 and has been playing professional baseball for quite some time. And he's been able to hit the ground running, Imanaga. So what I need more than anything to play a pitcher future is value. And basically what is holding Imanaga back is not one, but two superstars right behind him, with respect to Jared Jones and Yamamoto and Paul Skeens. And I've talked about the Paul Skeens strikeout stuff a million times. I better bet that under 151.5 to make it worth all of your while. But Paul Skeens is 11-1 to win Rookie of the Year. And the favorite in that market is the second best number to win Cy Young. Skeens is 200-1 to win the NL Cy Young. Skeens is not competing against normal rookies. He's competing against a guy who's supposed to win Cy Young, possibly, and would if the season ended today. So if Skeens is holding the number back, and if Yamamoto's holding the number back, then we're getting a good number still at even money. I'm very tempted by it. The other number I'm looking at is a comparable situation to what we discussed with Shota Imanaga in the National League happening in the American League. If I gave you a ballot right now for AL Cy Young, you want to know how it would not be filled out? Skubal, Burns, Castillo, Pablo Lopez, Cole Reagans. That's your top five in odds. I promise you, your ballot in the top five, at least it better, otherwise you need to lose that vote, would have Seth Lugo. Seth Lugo probably would win the American League Cy Young if things ended up today. They don't, but he's 25-1, and that's not a bad number. We're going to reset the card for you right here. It's Game Time Decisions on a Monday night.